Midnight Music.
Coming up this week on Kings of the Wings podcast, as we go into our eighth year of the show, we celebrate and look back at the reverence given to Sami Zayn this past week at Elimination Chamber, but not for too long, because the righteous Reverend Cody Rhodes is gearing up to preach his sermon to an audience of WrestleMania proportions. Plus, there's a new women's champion in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and that is something, folks, you can bank on. So put down the drugs, Tony Khan, because it's the 328th episode of Kings of the Rings podcast, 329th, I believe, 28th, 29th, who cares, Church Tabernacle, exclusively on WrestleAddict Radio, and it starts right now. You know, I was right. It was the 329. I got it at some point. Yeah, 329. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to King's Rings podcast, episode number 329, Church Tabernacle. Of course, I am your host, King Ricky Rose. No guest this week. We were taking a break from a guest, but we might have a guest next week as we go all elite.
Is
next
it me?
Week. No, you are here all the time with me. As always, and celebrating a 28th birthday from last year. We already gave you a happy birthday, but whatever. Hey, Will, how you doing?
I'm good, man. 28 feels the same as 27, except I don't have to worry about being dead like Kurt Cobain, so that's always a plus.
You know, so far.
I did not put pineapple on my pizza. What is this fucking blasphemy?
I didn't have any other ideas, I'm sorry.
Well, here's the thing. I don't hate pineapple on my pizza. It's not my first, third, second, third, fourth, or fifth choice. Like, if it's there, I'll eat it, but I'll never
order. Okay. Gotcha. You ever tried scrambled eggs on pizza?
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Don't knock. Oh, it's great.
No, you thought I was going to hate it? That sounds fucking awesome.
You should go to Australia then. They live a wild life down there.
Oh, baby. I'll put kangaroo in my pizza.
You might not want to do that.
Do I eat kangaroo? Kangaroo's delicious.
No, they treat kangaroo like we treat deer. We just kind of run them over.
Yeah, well, we eat deer too, but we mainly run them over.
I've never had kangaroo. I had gator down there.
Gator's delicious.
Gator is delicious.
And Taquan's mom, also delicious.
It's going to be one of those night, folks.
This is Taquan.
Yeah, so before we get into this. Yeah, so before we get into anything, so apparently, according to Will, which we found out last week, this show turned 8 years old.
I totally forgot to mention that last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
The eight-year anniversary. It's sometime in February. I always forget the exact date because I don't have the actual date of the first episode because it doesn't really exist. And if it does, I don't
know
if it does, to be honest. Because the first episode, the funny story is that I recorded on a laptop in my dorm room sophomore year. And I don't remember if it was a week before my birthday, week of my birthday, or week after my birthday.
Okay.
So I think it was the week before, but my computer only had like 4 gigabytes of RAM because that's what computers were back then.
And I
Skype to talk to Christian and audition at the same time. So the audio was recording, but it was skipping and jumping because my computer was like running at 100% max.
Jesus.
So that was the problem. Yeah, that's the first podcast I ever recorded, and it doesn't exist because I got rid of it. So the first one's technically episode 2. That released on February 15th, I believe. So
okay, so yeah. So
ish.
Last week.
So yeah, it's February is the 8 years. So yeah.
Yeah.
We did.
Celebrate 8 years. Yeah. That's so weird.
Yeah, isn't it wild?
That is kind of wild. Like, I don't see it as 8 years. Well, for sure, at least I came in probably around what, year three? No, year two.
Year two. Yeah,
year two, yeah.
Year, but it was episode like 36 or 37.
33, I believe. Rock. Yeah, 33. Yeah, I've been here.
I took a lot of weeks off. You know,
I'm literally coming on 300 episodes.
Yeah,
very soon. Give or take. Yeah, it's pretty wild. 300 episodes of this goddamn show, but still somehow is afloat by people and listeners like you. That's my own PSA. So happy birthday to us. I'll drink water to that, I guess.
I got beer in the fridge, but it's all in the fridge.
Yeah, but I mean, it's 8. You know, like, I don't know what do you do when you celebrate 8 years? It's just, hey, we turned 8.
We're
in
second grade, yeah.
Yay! Yeah.
The Ambrose Cash-In. That's where Ricky came in for us.
That's right.
First episode.
That was the Ambrose Cash, and yes, that was an impromptu show, and it was great. Speaking of impromptu, we're going to be following this all night because we don't know when it's actually going to happen, but I got word of this, Will, right as I was preparing for the show today. Tony Khan, everybody's favorite drug-induced owner of wrestling, says he has an important announcement that's going to happen sometime tonight as we are recording during AEW Dynamite. No one has a clue what it is. He has an important announcement. It's not a big announcement. It's an important announcement. So I think the wordplay is very important here. I have no idea what it is. Will, do you want to take a shot in the dark at what it could be? Wrong answers only.
Oh, he's coming out of the closet. Tony Khan is going to come out and go, I am non-binary and gay, and you all know what that means. I can't wait. Honestly, dude, if TK came out as gay, I think I'd like him even more.
I have no idea what it is. I mean, I feel like his announcement's going to be that he bought WCW. And then somebody's going to whisper in his ear that that's not possible. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I did not buy WCW.
I bought WCW backwards, which is WCW. If, honestly, though, I wouldn't be surprised if he announced the date for Forbidden Door 2.
That's what people are saying, and I swear to God, if it's
WCW. If it's just... Dude, Dynamite has a third hour frets, I'm never watching it again. I cannot.
I swear to God, if I do another special in fucking Chicago... Like, find another city. My God, find another city, Tony. For the love of God, find another city.
He bought the WEA. Yes, now we're talking.
Now we're in the business. Now we're going to have to watch. Could you imagine if, like, Tony Khan just, like, bought our podcast? One, sold. Number one, sold.
Yeah. Can I still do it?
That's all I ask. Like, let me be on the road. Let me still do it. Just keep me away from Jericho.
I'll host with Jericho. That's fine.
I don't think Jericho would host. I know Jericho has a lot to say. He gets bored.
Dude, Jericho kind of likes the way his farts smell, to be honest. When he talks about AEW.
Yeah, he does.
He's a little not humble, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's not one bit at all. I was like, I get it. You found somebody who was gullible enough to let you do whatever the fuck you wanted.
It's like, Jericho, you're not wrong, but let's not pretend that Kenny Omega isn't here.
And the Young Bucks aren't here.
And Cody didn't do it first. yeah, you were important for on-screen stuff, but don't pretend like that translates to off-screen stuff.
Yeah, like I don't think he really did much off-screen. I don't know, because we never know.
It's like, but... you carry the company, kind of, but it's not like you didn't have help.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. The Ocho, whatever he's calling himself. I don't know.
We did put him on Mount Rushmore. I don't know if you're going to start regretting that anytime soon.
Did we put it? Well, no, I don't.
Yeah, you put him on, motherfucker.
Yeah, like I don't regret it. Just because he's kind of a dick doesn't mean he's a great wrestler, and he's probably one of the most accomplished wrestlers of our time. Like,
he is the modern-day Terry Funk, for sure.
Yeah. I can't knock what he's done. Like, most of his characters have been a hit in some iteration or not.
I just can't wait for Chris Jericho to win the ECW Championship from Raven this April. It's going to be
so good. Brilliant Legal 3. It's awesome. It's going to be great. So, yeah, Tony Khan has some sort of big-ass announcement that hopefully we'll find out about very soon.
We're going to find out during the show because it already... Well, if you're listening to this, you
show started. Know
what it is because the show, show airs when AEW.
I have the show. I have a show on right now. Orange Cassidy is hugging... Wheeler, I believe, right now. So that's a thing.
Okay.
Oh, I swear to you, as I'm watching this really quickly, this looks more like WCW as it gets older, because they have a new set, which is great. I love the new AEW set. I was like, finally, modern times. I like it. It looks nice. But now they have the advertisements. Like, they have DraftKings little markers in the corners.
On the apron. On the mat, I mean.
On the actual mat, yeah.
I'm glad WWE does not do that.
Yeah.
Because it does bother me.
A little bit, yeah.
Although, I'm not going to lie, it does help in UFC because you get to kind of know where in the octagon they are.
I get it, because it's like it's pretty much a fake circle. But yes, I get that. Yeah.
But with WWE, it's like it.
It's four corners. Yeah, it's just stop it.
Most of the time,
Yeah, like I don't know, but yeah, it's just I just don't like the sponsorship stuff. Like, I get DraftKings, you double dipping bastards, but
man, they need to make money somewhere.
That's true. They're not making it on.
I mean, we make fun of 2K for not making money. Now I'm making fun of them for making money. That kind of sounds like a hypocrite to me, Ricky.
No. I just don't like the visual of the sponsorship on the mat.
I'll call myself a hypocrite.
Yeah. That's all. So this is the developing story. We'll find out when we find out. Who knows what will happen during the show. But judging by our luck, it'll happen when our show is finished. What we will be talking about, not this week, but next week, but I do want to kind of prep you for this. AEW Revolution is next week. Who knew?
Woo!
Yeah, it's going to be from the Chase Center, home of the Fighting Stephen Currys, on March 5th. So we are going to be doing a giant preview of that, including what is going to be the main event, MJF versus Brian Danielson for the AEW World title in a shocker to me, a 60-minute Iron Man match. And I'm concerned because I don't think MJF can actually legitimately wrestle for 60 minutes.
Dude, I think it'll be fine.
I like not the purist in me, but like kind of the wrestling, the marquee wrestling fan of me is like, you think of 6 minute Iron Man, you think this is something that is kind of a sacred match that shows the best of what you can do. And I can just picture MJF kind of bullshitting for like half of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think Iron Man matches are overrated.
Okay.
30 minutes I like, because it's a quick 30. 60 minutes is a long time.
You gotta be telling a really good story.
It's like that, but it's just like you're just waiting most of the time. It's like you're waiting for those last 5 minutes, it feels like. It drags for the sake of dragging. Like if they just went 60 minutes and you didn't know it was an Iron Man match, yeah, they can be boring, as Fred says, with spelled out phonetically. Boring. So like, I know I've said before in this podcast that Bret Shawn at WrestleMania 13 is like the greatest match of all time because it won an hour and with overtime. If you watch it back, a lot of rest holds.
It is a lot of rest holds.
A lot of rest holds. I mean, can you think of any match, any Iron Man match, where they go hard for the 60 minutes like AEW goes hard for their matches?
Not really. I don't know. But, like, if you look at this, Bryan Danielson is not a person that goes hard all the time. He has spurts of energy. You know, I'm interested to see how technical this is going to be and how much pizzazz this is going to be. And because it's something interesting, but we'll talk about it next week. But hopefully, Angle Brock on SmackDown was a good Iron Man match. But we'll talk about this a lot more next week when we focus a lot more on AEW. Also, and also in other parts of the wrestling world, because this also happened on Saturday in San Jose, California. Surprise, surprise, Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks, is now the second ever IWGP Women's Champion, beating the first champion, Kairi. And what everybody said was actually a really good match. I saw the clips. It seemed like it was they worked really well together, which if you watch them in NXT, when Sasha was down there for a little bit, they worked really well together.
Yeah, it's pretty wild that their first champion was a transition champion.
She won before Wrestle Kingdom.
How long did Kairi hold it for? Like 2 months?
No, like four.
4 months?
Yeah.
How many times did she defend it?
She won in, I believe she won in like November. Because she won in like November. She defended at Wrestle Kingdom. Like she won the event to win to become the inaugural champion. So that's not a defense. That's a win.
That's a win. Defended at Wrestle Kingdom and Sasha showed up?
I believe so.
All right, I take it back. Not a transition champion. Yeah, good for Mercedes. Where was this match? Looks like it was filmed in Impact.
No, San Jose.
Looks like it was filmed in the Impact Studios.
I guess if Impact Studios had a studio in San Jose.
Crowd, like 800 people?
No, I think from what I can see just from this picture that we showed here of Sasha winning that really, really small title, but she also has a really, really small waist, it seems like it was a two-level arena.
Interesting, yeah, because it's like damn, Sasha, you gave up WrestleMania for this?
Listen, she's living the dream.
She's happy. I mean,
she's living the dream. I mean, she had her
Japan, and she set up a San Jose.
Well, she's the IWGP Women's Champion, so this is where she won the title, and this is where they were going to bring in money, because she's known right now over here.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, I don't think this is settling. This is just elevating, in my opinion, I think it's just elevating her overall wrestling talent. She's done something only two women in wrestling have ever done before, because IWGP never really recognized women as a title, so it's kind of another, kind of a groundbreaking accolade for her. I did see in the crowd, which is very interesting because this happened the same night as Elimination Chamber, which is all the way in Canada. There was some footage of Naomi, Bayley, and Tamina were all in the crowd supporting her. Bayley was wearing like an all, like this giant jumpsuit, but it was all like dollar bills and shit.
Oh, money. I get it.
Yeah, she was money. Yeah. So money. And also to be known, it's to join her in the ring, because Kyrie gave really on like the hands up and pointing at the person approval. Bayley started a Monet chant, very nice.
Hugged. Aww.
They hugged it out, yes. But also at the end, she was seen posing with guess who? The Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, giving his seal of approval to Mercedes Moné as well. I love how both champions now have this whole thing with money, because he's the Rainmaker and you hear the coin drop whenever he shows up. Yeah. And now you have Mercedes Moné as like the CEO of wrestling, which is a great evolution of her character, which we said before, but more power to her. I feel like she is probably the person that's going to go in a Cody Rhodes like run right now.
Who else?
And just dominate the beats.
Lord, she stays at AEW. Should be fine.
I mean, I think what a lot of people want to see now, because this actually never happened really in WWE when they were both in there, Mercedes versus Mickey. Because Mickey's on her way out, and Mickey's the Impact Champion.
Yeah,
the Knockout Champion.
Next time she loses, she retires.
Yeah.
She's on that Flair run. I wouldn't mind Mercedes Moné retiring Mickey James. That'd be pretty cool.
And her winning the Impact title and kind of just running roughshod like that, that would be very interesting. Yeah, we'll see how it is. I think that would be a great passing of a torch for Mickey. Because Mickey already has a Hall of Fame career. She doesn't really need to do anything else. Mm-hmm. At all. But no, congratulations to Mercedes Moné, because I didn't want to leave that out, because it was a big week in sports, especially on Saturday. The XFL came back. You had Elimination Chamber at the cinemas. Mercedes Moné winning the title, which is a foregone conclusion. You know, if anybody saw the writings on the wall, because she just prints money. And the NHL Stadium Series was also happening all in the same day.
Yeah, dude, Saturday was a wild day.
Yeah, there was also like college basketball and the NBA month. Oh, and the NBA All-Star Saturday night was a thing, the dunk contest.
I heard the dunk contest was pretty nanners.
It was. This guy pretty much did a 720 and dunked the ball.
Nice.
Yeah. So like the most, his name is Matthew McClung. He's a D-League player, and they'd like Philadelphia 76ers signed him to a 2-week contract, and he won the dunk contest.
Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. It was amazing Saturday. It was amazing.
I ate Johnny Rockets.
Really? Yeah. Where?
There's one in Hoboken.
Oh.
Yeah, so Jazz and I went and saw Titanic in 4K 3D at the theater. So if we go to
you saw people die in 4K 3D.
Oh, dude, it's the best. I gotta tell you, man. So we did that for my birthday. But before we go to the movie theater, we always eat Johnny Rockets. So that's
interesting. That's an interesting call.
Well, because the theater was in, well, the original theater was in the mall at the Newport Mall in Jersey City.
Okay.
And the theater's also next to the food court. And
okay.
In the food court was a Johnny Rockets. So we'd always expect, oh, let's go see a movie and just eat Johnny Rockets.
The Rockets.
It's right there. It's the best thing in the food court.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a thing we do.
I do agree with you, Taquan. Why are we lining the pockets of James Cameron? But that's another topic for another time. Let's move on to the, again, as Triple H said on the press conference or the presser afterwards, a record-breaking Elimination Chamber for views, gate, so on and so forth. This is probably going to be a trend because I will tell you, Montreal, Canada went knucking futs for WWE this past weekend. And in my opinion, and I was talking to Fretz about this the other day, I was like, how come Montreal's never had a WrestleMania? Because I feel like they're in line for one.
What stadium do they have up there?
Nothing. I think that's the issue. I don't think they have a stadium since the Expos left and became the Nationals.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, you got to play in the Toronto Sky Dome.
Good luck with that. What's in Toronto?
Toronto, yeah. Good luck with that.
They did it before. The Sky Dome was a great scene.
WrestleMania though, they can fit more.
Yeah, it's one of the best WrestleManias ever. Also really cool. That was Rock Hogan. That was TLC too. It's all of the same. Jericho was the champion. He lost to Triple H, but whatever. Some good WrestleMania. But yeah, no, if Montreal had like a you know, a state-of-the-art 60, 70,000 seat arena, then maybe they would be able to do it. But I don't think Montreal's the infrastructure for it. But be it as it may, Elimination Chamber was off the wall, preempted by everything that happened on Friday at SmackDown. Like, that was a nuts crowd on SmackDown.
Yeah, that was smart them going to Montreal the night before as well.
Yeah, yeah, they just...
And Ottawa the night after, or Sunday, the Monday after.
Ottawa the Monday after. Yeah, it was a mini tour of Canada. It was great. So let's get into what we really want to talk about. The man of the weekend, Sami Zayn, became one of the biggest stars in wrestling, if he wasn't already, in an absolute loss match you saw coming a mile away. And everything about this was beautiful, from when they brought back Worlds Apart the night before, mm-hmm. you know,
to 5 minutes of screaming and chanting.
Yeah. To clearly him ad-libbing the entire thing to the return of the fuck you Roman chants. Dude. Beautiful.
They were chanting fuck you Roman when he wasn't even out there.
he didn't even show up till the next day.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
Yeah, what, my God, there's so many things you could say about this. The match itself, unbelievable. Great cinema. Doing a lot with just placement of people. For instance, when Jay showed up, all he did was stand in between Roman and Sammy, and that visual was the perfect thing.
Yeah, where's he gonna go?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I do have one gripe about this match.
Please.
No, so no, the
Cody.
No. No, if I really wanted to piss off the marks, I would say no Cody and like kind of clip that and just put it everywhere.
Why didn't Cody get the fucking save? Why did KO get the save? He's not part of the storyline.
No, I loved the double knocking out of the refs. I was like, okay, we're gonna go into uncharted territory. We're really gonna kind of drag this out. I wish KO would have came in for the save during the match.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
After the match, I was like, what's the point?
Well, the point was so Sammy could get a standing O.
You want to
end the show on a happy note with Sammy standing in the ring getting his moment.
I feel like he was going to get that regardless, and he didn't need KO. Like, I would have loved to see Sammy again try his hardest, shenanigans all happening, and then he still loses, and then he's left by himself in the ring.
Yeah.
And then he kind of gets like that undertaking standing O like we did at Mania 30.
Yeah, I get that.
It's nitpicky, like it was still wildly effective when he hit the Aluva kick and the Blue Thunder Bomb. Those false finishes were absolutely absurd.
Roman just played a great heel, right? Like he knew exactly what to do. He knew when to shit talk. He knew when to like rub it in his face. He knew to kick out at 2.99999. Like he did.
Yeah.
He just did everything perfectly. Like he taunted the crowd, like. And they let the crowd breathe. You know, they just walked around in circles for like 3 minutes to start off the match.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where I was like, okay, start doing something. But I was like, okay, hold on, though.
Yeah, you gotta wait it out. What I loved about it I love Samantha Irving or Samantha Taylor, whatever her name is. She was losing her mind screaming Roman's name, which I thought was a great way to piss off all the fans. And I loved how when you look at she was announcing both of them, Roman's like essentially like wafting the belts at Sammy's family.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, Sammy Kissin's wife was really funny.
I think that was an ad lib by him, and I thought that was brilliant.
You know, brilliant. You know, she makes the ring announcer. She makes like 180 grand a year.
What?
Yeah.
Greg
Hamilton made 300,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are we doing wrong?
Types of an angel, dude. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, ring announcers make a lot of money. Oh, when she was in NXT, she made like 17,000 though.
Well, yeah, no, that's your starter job. That's your entry level. Once you get to the main show, you're great.
Yeah.
Damn, that's nuts. Yeah, but no,
WWE pays her on screen talent very, very well.
Yeah, she is
definitely on screen talent.
She is. She is. People know who she is.
Is that his name?
It's Mike Rome, yeah.
Mike Rome, he gets probably, I think he gets paid like $300,000.
He's also like a voice actor.
Yeah.
He's like a legit voice actor.
I'd love to have that job.
I know. Well, it's really dominated by like one woman. She plays a lot of characters. But I also like how Sammy's wife, because I was like, did he tell her everything that was going to happen? But like, she played it up pretty well, going toe to toe.
Tell her?
Well, it wasn't like when freaking Adam Cole got like thrown through a table. He clearly didn't tell Britt Baker, you know.
Yeah, but Britt should know. She's a wrestler.
She acted like she didn't know.
Right, but still, you know what I mean? Like, how do you not like? What did you think was going to happen? You've been put through tables. Like, shut up. But, like, yeah, like, if I was Sami Zayn, I wouldn't tell her. Fuck it. Get the general reaction. It's hilarious. It's a nice rib on your wife.
Yeah, no, she knew or not, she played up really well. I loved how he went to the whole family. I love how, I guess, it was, like, the uncle or the brother, like, holding the kids back from Roman. Like, it was played up really well. I also loved all of if Sami wins, we riot. There were like five of them.
Yeah, three or four or five of them.
And then there was one guy.
They were left too speechless.
Yeah, that was the best part about it. He lost, and it was like Roman sucked the life out of him.
It is pretty wild, right? Not even booze, right? The crowd was hot all night. The whole they came out to play from bell to bell, match to match.
Yeah.
But once someone got that pinfall, nothing.
Yeah, they were heartbroken.
Like, what did you think was going to happen?
They were heartbroken. Like, they didn't even have the like any energy left to boo him. And I was joking with my friends. I was like, Roman better, like, because the way that this was leading up to that main event, I thought Roman was legitimately going to have something very horrible happen to him if he stayed around long. I was like, I really hope he has like a getaway car.
That's why he got out quick.
He's like, get me the fuck out of here.
Okay, with the stunner, he's like, all right, I'm out.
I will say this, Paul Heyman. I love Paul Heyman. Him trying to fight Kevin Owens.
His slaps were hilarious.
I was like, Paul, you are from Long Island. I know you know how to fight better than this. Like, don't, you're making us look bad, Paul.
That's how I would have hit KO. Just like that, just...
So bad.
Like playing patty cake with his back.
And then he came on a Raw with a fucking neck brace.
So funny.
Fucking asshole. Fucking asshole. So coming out of this, and even leading into this, a lot of people were saying, and we talked about the KO attack too, but a lot of people were saying, wow, it's a great spot by the Usos there. But a lot of people were saying that Sami Zayn himself deserves to be in the WrestleMania main event.
I agree. In the tag team match.
You know,
I think the tag belts could main event WrestleMania for sure. I do. I don't think that's ridiculous to say at all.
I don't either, because it's not, the tag titles are a thing where at this point in time, the tag titles are engulfed in the Bloodline storyline. So it's not the tag titles main eventing. It's the Bloodline main event.
Like, okay, which match do you care about more? Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens versus the Usos, or Charlotte, Rhea?
Charlotte Rhea will, I believe, will start night one.
Yeah, so what main event's night one? Bianca Kana?
I think Bianca Kana will main event night two. Ugh. Well, I mean, not main event, almost begin night two.
But this story of begin night two.
Yeah, begin night two.
So what wouldn't the main event night one?
No, it's, oh, my fault. I said, I got it wrong. Charlotte Rhea should start night one, Bloodline main event night one.
Yeah, that's what I totally agree. That's what should happen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you want Sami Zayn to main event at WrestleMania? I agree. But should he go up against Roman again? No, we already had it. He had his moment.
Yeah, he already mentioned it, like, this is my WrestleMania. Yeah, yeah, you got it.
Like, they did leave room there for him to weasel his way in, though.
Mm-hmm. You have the whole KO, will they, won't they be friends? And
which is also smart, right? Make them earn it.
Yeah. And they're going to play this out.
Kick him in the dick back in November? Like, you guys going to forget all that?
Yeah.
Go ask Jay for help. Ooh, you speared him. Oops.
Yeah, he didn't. He not only did he kick him in the dick, he fucking Haluba kicked him in, to win war games.
Yeah.
To pledge his allegiance to the bloodline. You know, too. But to think that Sammy is going to supersede Reverend Cody Rhodes for the main event of night two of WrestleMania, you are out of your goddamn mind.
I don't want Triple Threat. Triple Threat is just like.
We had that already. We don't need to do it again.
Yeah, problem. It's just like, great. Now Sammy's going to eat another pin? Like, no thanks.
Yeah.
I think Roman wins, to be honest.
I don't.
I think Roman pins Cody.
It might be only if they want Roman to pass 1,000 days as champion.
Which I do. It's a reason why I do. But also, I think Cody... Yeah. Cody needs to earn it a little more.
I mean, how much more can you earn it after tearing your
he tore his quad chest. And then came
no, not quad, his pec.
So, excuse me, his pec. So yeah,
tore his pec.
Like the whole point of the story was, right, to go on that year run and then earn the match. Instead, he got hurt, you know, act of God, it happens.
Yeah.
He came back at Rumble number 30. It's just kind of like...
And survived Gunther chops.
Survived Gunther chops. But it's
which, like, where in the hell do you put Gunther at WrestleMania at this point?
Well, they're having a battle royal at a house show to see who's the number one contender for it.
Whatever. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Whatever. Charles. Hey, Charles.
Yeah, I think Cody just... And again, dude, it's only a matter of time before we start booing Cody. I'm telling you. It's only a matter of time before we get sick of hearing about Dead Dusty and we boo the fuck out of Cody Rhodes.
So, well, in order for that to happen, he has to win the belt. And I do like the story of... This is the reason I came back. I achieved what I got. And it's a year-long story. Like, he called it at the Raw the year before. And I hate to say it, but they're also in the backdrop of Hollywood because they're not in Hollywood. They're in Compton. But, you know, it's the easiest Hollywood story you can ever tell. It's the story of the underdog, a guy doing it for his father. It just screams Hollywood ending, Hollywood story. You're in the background of Hollywood.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Why not it be Cody?
Yeah, no, if there's any time to pull a trigger, it would be now, but...
Yeah, while he's hot, and like, I mean, he's a million bucks right now, and it's one of those things that...
He is hot, but Roman's still hotter.
I know, but I think that's what makes a great... I think that's what's going to make a great story and a great fight, because I also think these guys know the business so well... That they are going to put together a ridiculous main event.
They will. I would not be shocked if Roman kept the titles.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. But fact of the matter is, Sami Zayn's not replacing Cody in the main event of main events at WrestleMania. It's not happening.
But who does Cody go up against? It's like Cody wins the belt, right?
Okay.
Who's his first feud?
I don't want to say 90 good.
Classic.
Stop it, Charles.
I'll watch it. But no, for real though, Cody wins the belts.
Uh-huh.
Who's his first feud? And his second feud? And his third feud?
First feud will be a returning AJ Styles.
Okay, love it.
Okay, second feud after Styles, because we want to do three, right?
Yep, so AJ's a heel?
AJ's, yeah, why not? Why the fuck not?
Okay.
You know, you can even, and in this day and age in WWE, you can even tease, like, I was a better Bullet Club member than you or some shit like that. Like, that's going to come in there somewhere.
Okay.
You know, so I think AJ, and then if you go, I think he gives it to Sammy. It might be Sammy first, so you can get that out of the way.
Okay. And then they stop booing him.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
That's a mistake, man. That's a mistake right there.
Yeah, I think at some point he might be like, oh, I'm going to give it to Sammy because he did have that moment with Sammy. But it also might be, you know, the Raw after Mania kind of moment.
Yeah.
That they give him the match and then some shit happens. But I think AJ is your best bet as your first one. Your second feud after AJ, pending they don't sign anybody crazy because, you know, Jay White is still out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. White's still rumored, and you don't know what's going to happen with Kenny and the Bucks. So that's also been kind of, you know, kind of a weird discussion as well. But I think you stay away from Kenny and the Bucks as long as fucking possible.
Oh, no, sign him. Fuck AEW. Sign those bitches immediately.
His after AJ, I'm trying to think of the roster. Don't give him Bray. Bray's not ready.
Agreed. Do not give him Bray.
I would love to see him and Bobby.
Okay.
I think him and Bobby would be cool. Back and forth. And then no, not Braun Breaker, friends. You. I should block you from being in the chat at that point. Not Braun Breaker. I think because you go from AJ to Bobby. From Bobby, I would love to see by SummerSlam Cody versus Brock.
Okay. All right.
I think that's logical, right? Yeah, because okay.
Let's say Gunther. I agree with Fretz. Finn and Gunther would also be pretty cool eventually.
Finn's got to give me a good win at some point. Yeah,
Finn needs momentum. Finn needs to stop taking L's. All right.
Yeah, that's my issue. We are going to get Finn and Edge at Mania,
We're going to talk about that. But okay, but let's say Roman keeps the belts.
Let's say Roman keeps the belts, and yeah, Gunther.
Who is he feud with?
Gunther.
I'm thinking storylines here. You can go back to Sammy, right? You can go back to Sammy. You can go. Back
okay.
To, you can go back.
Okay.
To, you can go back to Seth.
He never really beat Seth.
Exactly. You can go back to Jey Uso.
That's okay.
Right.
Okay. So if you're going to keep the bloodline going, I'm okay.
You're going back. You're going back. You're going back. But those three storylines are way more interesting than other than maybe AJ.
Oh, I totally forgot. Because he should be healed up by then. Randy.
Randy can go against either or.
I'm going to say if I replace Bobby with Randy.
Bobby with Randy? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Roman Randy would be better.
Yeah, maybe. Didn't we see Roman Randy?
We might have at one point.
Yeah.
Who hasn't Roman beaten at this point? But still, like, there's still meat on the bone for Seth. There's still meat on the bone for Jade. There's still meat on the bone for Sammy. And that meat on the bone is way more interesting than Cody versus anybody else.
Well, because we know about it, but I think I like fresh and new, and we'll see what Cody can do with the belt.
Fair, yeah.
You know,
I mean, it is a win-win regardless. I'm happy with both of them as champion, but I still think there's plenty of meat on the bone for Roman as a title reign right now. I think Roman could go another year.
Honestly, he could.
If they really wanted to, I think Roman could go another year and then drop to Cody next year if Cody's still hot. But who the fuck knows?
Cody versus Solo, Fretz, get out of here. Just don't give its predictions anymore, Fretz. Solo is not getting a title shot. That's stop it.
Finish your beer. Come on.
Yeah, it's good. The thing is that there's a lot of freshness that could happen. I'm really intrigued by Cody AJ.
I am too.
I'm really intrigued by Cody. That is
a little more interesting than like Roman Jey Uso for sure, but
because you have Cody AJ, because then at that point you clearly will have Anderson and Gallows with him as well.
Yes.
So that's very Marky Bullet Club. Yes. You know, old school versus new school. Blah blah blah. He can like, you killed the original club. Blah blah blah. All
and
that shit. Like,
stop booing Cody. The club turns on AJ, and Cody has a heel. He has a teardrop tattoo and black hair.
Can you imagine if they Bullet Club? If they did a Bullet Club turn for Cody. And they turn on AJ.
I'm telling you, I cannot wait to boo this man. He's gonna be the fucking greatest.
There's too much sports for him to be booed at this moment.
I know we mentioned Christian McLaughlin earlier, my very first co-host. I gotta reach out to him if he wants to come back on. He is a huge Cody mark.
Is he?
He is a huge Cody mark, and I was a big legacy Mark Fretz. So I'm gonna text him tomorrow and see if he wants to come on in a few weeks.
Yeah, no, Cody Randy is good too. Like, you go AJ Randy to Brock, maybe if Brock wants to work with Cody, that'd be pretty fun.
I mean, there's money in Brock Cody for sure.
So, oh yeah. So. And SummerSlam in Detroit, yeah, there's money in Brock.
Convince me, Cody definitely has options. I still think Roman has better options in terms of storytelling.
Because Roman's had more stories to tell.
True. He has more loose ends to tie up too.
This is also pending, but those loose ends aren't tied up by WrestleMania. I can predict that it might be the end of the bloodline come WrestleMania, and I think that's a good thing for everybody. I also have to compare it to, like, how long did, like, do these big heel factions last? Like, how long did the authority last compared to how long did the bloodline last? Like, how long did we go before we actually started to, like, make a turn?
The NWO lasted, like, 3 years too long.
The NWO lasted too long, yeah.
The authority was back and forth with like for like they were like
4 years,
like 2 or 3 years. They like took a little bit of a break for a few months, and they were back for another year or so.
Yeah, so it's the, they're getting around that time. I was like, okay, it might be time to like make a pivot. They're really hot. It's
been it would be 3 years in August, really. No, it'll be 3 years in September or October,
something like that. But they're getting around that time.
Yeah.
Where, you know, might be at time to make a turn. And I think Cody's a good time to flip that switch in. But we'll see what happens. We still are, like, what, 38 days away from Mania, which is knocking futs.
I'm so pumped.
Yeah, I'm so glad. There's nothing in the way. There's no pay-per-views. There's no roadblock. There's none of that dumb shit. Although roadblock is on NXT next week. But there's nothing in the way, and now you can have the writers write and build and build and build, and this is exactly what you want going into Mania. It's perfect scheduling at this point. But let's move on to other parts in this card. The men's Elimination Chamber match was out of this world, in my opinion. And this is probably the one of the two elimination matches where everybody looked like a star.
You got a lot of time too.
Yeah, for what was usually like a cooldown match.
Yeah, they got a lot of time.
They got a crap up, but everybody looked great.
Everyone did look really good. Gargano had great counters. Montez had the high spot. Bronson Reed had the power spots.
He was a world of... They took, what, 3 super kicks to take him out?
Yep, they murdered the fuck out of him. that reverse Damian runner spot looked good. Was really scary.
Oh, the reverse runner, yeah, scared the crap
Austin,
out of me.
Austin Theory had the shit heel spots, and Seth got the I got screwed spot. So
yeah,
everyone looked, like you said, everyone looked good.
And Logan Paul was let in again really quickly. Him in his bright ass yellow.
Dude, I love Logan Paul. I don't care what anyone says.
I hate Logan Paul and Seth is going to steal the show at Mania.
Yeah,
it's going to happen, and everybody needs to accept it. Everybody really needs to accept that Logan Paul and Seth are going to steal the show at Mania.
Dude, they're
going to
tear it down.
Which is gross to say. That Logan Paul is going to do something else again really well.
It's because, like, Logan Paul is just Seth Rollins. Like, Logan, you know what Logan needs to do? He needs a black streak.
What do you mean? Oh, I was like a black streak. I was like, what?
Logan needs a black streak in his hair.
Oh, okay. So,
because, like, dude, they're the same size.
I think Logan's bigger, but okay.
Logan might be like an inch or two bigger, but like they have the same body length and they both have the same wrestling style. They both wear pants in the ring.
I love how every time Logan Paul appears, Hangman Adam Page loses a finishing move.
That's funny.
Hangman Adam Page probably hates himself right now. It's like, God damn it, he does it better than me. Every single time. What is going on with Hangman Adam Page? Oh, Christian's back.
Him and Moxley are still feuding, I think.
Ah, good for them. Christian's on the floor right now in AEW.
Oh, Christian Cage.
Yeah, Christian Cage. Yeah, he got taken out by Jungle Boy because that's going to lead to a match.
Eventually.
Yeah.
He was injured.
But
Christian Cage is fucking Britt Baker.
Whoa, what?
Apparently, Adam Cole and Britt Baker have an open relationship.
That's. I didn't see that coming.
You can believe that if you want. You can not. I don't care. It's just fun to spread the rumor, though. That's a great rumor to spread, dude. I'm not the first one to make that up, so don't give me credit. But wow. I don't care if it's false. It's fun to say it's true.
Jeez. Christian, doing it for the peeps, Let's move along to the other Elimination Chamber, which is the women, which was opened up a show, which is a little bit surprising. They didn't do that bad, but this was the Kana Asuka showcase, as it was designed to be. But there are still some good spots. Carmella's just Carmella, and I think Carmella doesn't get enough credit for being, has good characterization. But this was the Asuka show, as it should have been. Liv Morgan did really well. In a loss, because that's what Liv Morgan does. Looks
so
good in a
loss. She got eliminated second. Get the fuck out of here.
Nikki Cross probably is the best character out of all of them. Mm-hmm. I just love how she's just batshit crazy.
She did her high spot, and then Raquel just put her on the floor.
Which is good. I'm glad Raquel actually got to do something positive. She got a great reaction.
Yeah.
Coming out.
Great back.
She does have a great back. She really needs a shirt. Like, they really need to make a shirt for her where there's, like, nothing on the front, but, like, everything on the back.
I don't know why Smiley hates her shoulders. Like, what do you got against her shoulders, Smiley?
What's the matter with you? There's nothing wrong with
her shoulders. I remember the last week she was like, she shows too much back. So, like, we get it. You got muscles. You got shoulder blades. Cool. I like it. It's unique. It's different.
I mean, it got brawn.
It'll be great with a title belt. It looks great with a title belt on her ass.
Yeah, that would be a great look. She flexed with the title belt behind her. I think she did with the
NXT title. That's what she did.
Yeah, no, it's good. I have a lot of hope for her. They just need to showcase her strength more. So, well, it was good. This is a foregone conclusion. We're getting Asuka versus Bianca at WrestleMania. Since we can't get Bianca versus Charlotte, which I think is a giant misstep,
Rhea needs to rub more.
She does.
Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And I still think Rhea loses, though.
That would be such a kick in the nuts.
You know, Charlotte loves losing a title.
That's one thing her and Rick have in common.
Dude, I saw a crazy stat the other day. It was like, with Roman Reigns passing 900 days as champion, he passed all of John Cena's title reigns combined. I'm just nuts. Cena had the belt 16 times. He couldn't reach 1,000 days as champion.
That sounds about right.
That's crazy, dude.
He did back and forth a lot when he was like the top guy.
True. Him and Randy flip-flopped, and him and Edge flip-flopped a little bit too.
Yeah. A lot of his robberies were very back and forth. But no, it was the women's match did what it needs to do for the people that it needs to do it for, especially Raquel, which hopefully they'll start doing stuff with her and stop letting her fucking smile every single match. Yeah, like, that's a good Raquel phase.
I'm here!
Hey, guys, look at my back! Look at my back!
My shoulder blades are bigger than my tits.
She's a good basketball player. Apparently, she's really good with carpentry.
Interesting.
She did live in Texas.
What a great skill to have.
Yeah, that is very good. I mean, like, look, if you look at Bianca, makes all of her clothes, which, yeah, by the way, the jacket she clearly made for Montez was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
That jacket was awesome. That jacket was absolutely awesome. So no, it's a great skill to have to be a carpenter. Worked for Jesus. Now to what was clearly going to be a match. Brock versus Bobby, which is the most clusterfuck of a match no match I've ever seen. Like, okay, they had a semi match and then Brock kicked them in the nuts, but now you have Bray potentially involved. Omos.
What the fuck is Bray Wyatt and Omos doing? Like, stop playing yourself.
Omos challenged Brock on Monday.
No, MVP challenge on behalf of Omos.
Would you want Omos to speak on behalf of himself?
I want Omos to go back to being a ninja.
The giant ninja Omos is great.
I want Omos to go back to Raw Underground.
When he was the doorman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this. I don't know if there's issues. Like, why are we not getting Brock Bobby at WrestleMania in Compton?
We're definitely going to. Like, don't fool yourself, Ricky. Don't fall for this propaganda.
I usually don't. But I'm just like, why are we...
How many weeks left? How many weeks? 4 weeks? Yeah, there's plenty of time.
Five?
Yeah, plenty of time.
At least five. Plenty of time. Yeah, it's just like, but why? Like, why are you getting Bray involved? Which Bray needs to do something at this point.
Forget he's in the company.
He just randomly shows up, takes out Hit Row, you know, and then moves on.
He's got no buzz. Bray Wyatt has no buzz.
He's not really wrestling. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Nah, LA Knight. LA Knight needs a spotlight. I love that guy. Good old LA Knight. But yeah, Brock Bobby, I mean, it better fucking happen.
They do need a gimmick, though, to Fretz's point.
What?
The Brock Bobby. At this point, they need a gimmick.
What do you do a Brock Bobby gimmick match in the middle of the card? Like, where do you, like...
I mean, I would love a Hell in a Cell, personally. That'd be pretty cool.
You gotta hide... I mean, you can actually hide that cell in SoFi Stadium because you have the big round LED,
yeah.
So you can hide it pretty well.
That'd be pretty cool. But it could be...
But Hell in a Cell's a bitch to look at.
Yeah. It's going to suck if you're in the nosebleeds because it's red.
Yeah.
You don't ever see shit.
No, it should be Fight Pit.
Fight Pit would be cool. It's probably a steel cage match.
No, it's got to be a fight pit. I think fight pit. Well, fight pit is a bitch to put together. But it's WrestleMania; they have time. It's got to be fight pit. You got to have a special guest referee. Because it's WrestleMania, fight pit is perfect. Can you imagine Brock and Bobby in a fight pit where they kind of have to shoot on each other, but they kind of have to like remain in control? Take all my money.
Yeah,
no fun for the ref. Like, I want DC to be in there to be the ref, so you can just get his ass beat by two people that are much bigger.
I don't. I don't at all. I'd rather have Teddy Long.
Why would you do that to Teddy?
Teddy Long used to be a ref.
Not like that. No, fuck it. Put in Herb Dean. Like, let's make it real.
Oh, put in Herb. Big John McCarthy, dude.
You mean the guy with the giant stash?
Yeah, the goatee.
Yeah, go. Yeah, no,
Big John McCarthy.
Yeah. I'm making totally a faux UFC thing. I'm all for it.
You know what they got to do? They got to do that Dana White slap contest thing. They slap each other at WrestleMania.
Could you imagine? That's what Brock Bobby comes down to,
dude,
do a
whoever slap. Whoever slaps first wins. That's just a fact of life, dude.
Oh, the Power Slap League. Oh, my God. It's so bad. So entertaining. Like, ooh, what's going to happen? Yeah, you're going to knock somebody out eventually. Oh,
somebody's going to get their ass kicked.
There you go. Mark Henry's the ref of the fight. so good. And then, of course, because they had to give Canada something, Beth and Edge won.
Yay.
Which is good. It was fine. It was a good match. It was an entertaining match. Judgment Day takes another loss again. If it wasn't for Dominic, Judgment Day would be in the hole.
Dude, they already are in the hole, even with Dominic. I mean, Dominic is great, but the rest of them suck.
Rhea's great. I love how they're kind of trying to separate Rhea right now, which is fine. I did also like that Beth and Edge clearly hit the Shatter Machine.
Yeah.
I was like, huh. That's interesting, but then you realize that one of the members of FTR helped train Edge to come back when you watch the doc. So I guess that had to be an homage to him.
Well, who else uses the Shatter Machine?
Just FTR. Anybody?
No, anyone else throughout history? Are they the first ones?
Nope, just FTR.
Interesting.
Yeah. GYV, or the Schism, as they're part of now, hit something that looked like the Shatter Machine, but it's not. It was called, like, Ticket to Mayhem. It's a Shatter Machine-like variant, but it's not the Shatter Machine. Yeah, so FTR literally just is the only one that hits a Shatter Machine. They hit it kind of clean, too. Like, it looked really good. But it was a good match. It was a good little match. Edge is clearly...
The fuck you, Dom chants are pretty great, too. Fuck you, Dominic.
You know what's my favorite thing of Elimination Chamber? Outside of that, did you see the guy who was on the hard cam who kept up holding up a sign, Chicken Soup Blocky
yes,
Pita?
Yes! Yes! I was just like, I love this guy. What restaurant he owns, and I hope he gets business.
I don't, like, I bet you the people, like, in the freaking, in the broadcast, like, truck, were trying to be like, who the fuck is this guy?
They were Googling it. Is this offensive? No. Leave it up.
I wonder how many people ordered Chicken Soup Blocky Pita. I don't know if I've ever had it. It was so good. But Elimination Chamber was pretty freaking wild. Apparently, Fred says it's really good. Also, Fred, before we get going, because we're pretty much at the end of our show this week, because there wasn't really much to talk about, to be completely honest with you, outside Elimination Chamber and the build. Does anybody have any idea what this AEW comment is? Because we still haven't heard anything. Tony Khan hasn't made this announcement. It's the only thing I'm holding on to the show for at the moment, because we've really talked about everything. Besides, the build to WrestleMania has been absolutely fucking fantastic.
Like, three sharpshooters.
Which is surprisingly low. I would have taken the over on that.
Yeah, well, I also would have taken the over.
Yeah, I would have taken the over, because Natty pulled a sharpshooter because Natty has to do a sharpshooter. And then Edge did one, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Edge did the execution.
He did the execution. Beth did it.
Beth did it twice, I think.
That is the one thing that we were missing from the main event. I wanted Roman to hit a sharpshooter on Sammy.
Yeah.
That would have been a brilliant.
Roman doesn't use his submission anymore. The headlock, whatever it is.
Oh, it was a guillotine headlock.
Guillotine. He doesn't use it anymore.
No, that would have been a fun one to pull out for Sammy, but I would have loved him to pull a sharpshooter first.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing. The finish
with Sammy was good because it was a long three count with the original ref.
Yeah, no, it was good. Like I said, it was a good shenanigans were pulled, especially because I didn't see it coming because it didn't have little Nate. Usually if Charles Robinson is in the match, you're like, oh, shit's going down.
It's gonna happen.
But they didn't bring him in at all. Still say they should have Montreal school dropped Sammy in Montreal. Would have made him by night.
It would have been the most polite riot ever.
Well, Fretz was telling me about how crazy they are that the Montreal Canadiens in hockey, I guess, went to the playoffs for the first time in a while and they won game one and they like tore down half the city.
Game one, guys. Come on.
Calm down.
And they lost in five.
Oh my God, you Canadians are kooky. Okay, so there's no Tony Khan Slumpard clearly doing Yes Chance, so Brian Danielson is coming out to talk about something. So we're just going to go and we're going to figure out what the hell the announcement is later on. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh yeah, if you guys have seen, to be fair, we went on a good run that year. Stop it, Fretz. You never celebrate game one. Everybody knows this in sports. you never celebrate game one. My God, were you guys that ridden of a good team in Montreal?
That depraved. You get like an overpants hand job and you like run up there.
Even the Mets don't celebrate game one, and they're the Mets.
They don't win game one, that's why.
That's also true. It's also true, no matter how much money they pull into that team, they always find a way to fuck it up.
Can't wait. I wonder who's going to lose game one this year, Verlander or Scherzer.
Scherzer will be hurt before it'll be Verlander.
Yeah, facts. Rom's already hurt.
Isn't he on a new team?
Yeah, he's on the Rangers. He's already hurt.
Oh my God, that brings a tear.
I saw a meme. It was like, here's a photo of Greg Maddux talking to DeGrom about how they got the same amount of innings pitched this season.
Oh my God. I can joke about the Mets, though. We can do better on post. But before we do leave, I do want to mention that we are going to be bringing in a lot more content to our YouTube pages. Obviously, as you have seen, War Room is coming back, or War Room is going to be reimagined. I'm reimagining Tip of the Crown again for the Kings of the Rings YouTube, exclusively on the Kings of the Rings YouTube. And also, for your probably liking too, well, as you probably saw on the Discord already, I am bringing back Watch the Throne.
I did.
Yes.
That's pretty exciting.
Yes, I'm going to bring Rick Watch the Throne. I'm there to break the hearts of all marks almost every time that it comes out with a new episode. And I'm probably going to elaborate on why Sami Zayn shouldn't be the main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm trying to design it like kind of like a Daily Show monologue.
Mm.
That's my idea for right now, and I've set it up that way too, so it'll have its own little flair and stuff, and maybe when we get off air, I'll show you it after the post show, what I've designed in my boredom over the weekend.
Cool, man. Looking forward
Thank God for 3-day weekends. Well, until then, folks, let's get out of here and let's go on the post show. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 329, Church Tabernacle. I'm your host, King Ricky Rose. You can formerly find me at Ambassador of Biggest across all social media outlets whenever I return to social media, which is no time fucking soon. Find Kings of the Rings podcast at KOTR_podcast all over all of our social media. Like, share, subscribe, including liking this video. Leave us 5-star reviews. This really helps us out with the algorithm. And if you're listening to us, make sure you're listening to us wherever you get all of your podcast shows from by subscribing to Wrestle Addict Radio, The Cure from the Common Wrestling Podcast, and follow Wrestle Addict Radio social media at @addict_wrestle on Twitter and Wrestle Addict Radio everywhere else. The links to all of our stuff are in the description below wherever you're listening to us or you are watching us, including links to some of our awesome merchandise that we have, which is going to be a growing store as more merch becomes available for us. So please do check that out and help support us and our brand and Wrestle Addict Radio by purchasing some excellent merch. Will Tarashok.
What's up, guys? My name is Will Tarashok. It's Tears and Thomas. T-A-R-A-S-H-U-K. All my shenanigans are the exact same. Talking with Tarashok podcast. Anywhere podcasts can be found. Or the podcast playlist where podcasts can be found. If you like sports, sports actually is all caught up. So new sports content is going to come in March. Actually, when I bring back Alan Schoenberg and Mike Wilkins, who are two friends, so the three of us are going to go in studio, do a panel discussion, and preview the baseball season. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Ricky, oh, boy.
They're White Sox and Tigers fans, so they're just hopeless.
Wow.
That's going to be a good time because baseball is back, so look for that opening week of the MLB season in early April. Other than that, a lot of fun stuff coming my way. I dropped an episode this morning on with a U.S. veteran talking about his work with the VA. And helping veterans. Rick, you might actually like that one. There's a lot of mental health issues of veterans and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, there's a ton of mental health issues with veterans, and the VA is kind of not always the greatest thing in the world. Anywho, folks, when we come back next week, we'll be previewing AEW Revolution, because hopefully they'll have a card by then, as MJF is pontificating on the mic as we speak, and hopefully we'll have a special guest, but it's unconfirmed yet, but I will be reaching out to somebody. So until next week, folks, goodbye, good night. We'll see you soon, and we'll see you on the post show if you're going to stay with us here on this live stream. And one of the people we won't be reaching out to about AEW is clearly Slack, because Slack has had enough wrestling in his home country. He doesn't need to be on the show to talk about it anymore. Fuck you, Slack. We'll see you next week.